السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of khutab on the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As I mentioned before, rights are very serious things because they are those about which we will be questioned when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And among the rights of the people, among huququl ibad, the absolute number one right is the right of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There is no right of any other person which supersedes or comes above the right of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the reason why it is very important for us to understand what those rights are and to monitor ourselves to see that we are fulfilling them. As I mentioned earlier, in order that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's rights be fulfilled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in His hikmah wa rahmah, in His wisdom and mercy, created an entire generation who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and followed him in excellence and preserved everything he said and did as an example to follow for themselves and for those who came after them. It is important to reflect on the fact that both the Quran and its explanation, which we know as the Hadith, came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Both were narrated by him. Both were heard by the Sahaba in his voice. Both are necessary for us to practice and live by Islam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this entire generation who He called as Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, who performed this great service for all time and who are witness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their own truthfulness and dedication. After them came others who were equally dedicated, loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and were concerned with preserving Islam in word, meaning and spirit, and so dedicated their entire lives to collecting, validating and codifying the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The key principle is that all this was done by people who were interested in practicing Islam. I repeat that the key principle to understand and remember is that all of this, the preservation, the collection, the codification, the validation of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was done by people who were interested in living by Islam, who were interested in practicing Islam, not by those who wanted to change Islam to suit their own whims and fancies. And there lies the reason for this corruption of mind and spirit, which finds nothing contradictory in making the false claim that only the words were preserved and not their meaning, explanation or instructions about how the orders were to be carried out. Even though this is and sounds completely illogical, there are people who believe this and propagate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from them and not make us among them. The rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are seven. The first one is adab wa ihtiram, an attitude of utmost respect and honor. The second one is ita'at, to obey him alayhi salam without question. Number three is ittiba, to follow and emulate him in every way. Number four is hubb and muhabbat, to love him above all things and above everyone else in creation. Number five is the right of his Ahlul Bayt, the people of his household, which does not mean only Sayyidina Ali and his family. The people of his household, the first and foremost of them are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and who are our mothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the ayat of Suratul Ahzab, and we will come to this in detail, I'm just putting this as a marker here. In all the ayat of Suratul Ahzab where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the household, the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned An-Nisa'un Nabi. Allah did not say the daughter of the Prophet, He did not say the son-in-law of the Prophet, the cousin of the Prophet, the grandchildren of the Prophet. He said An-Nisa'un Nabi, the women of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which means the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and our mothers, Azwajatul Mutahharat wa Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So their rights are to honor and respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family, and this is a right on him and them, or their right on him, their right and his right on us. Number six is Nusrat, to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every way, which means to help his deen and his message. And the seventh one is to accept his judgment in all matters without any resistance, neither speaking against his judgment nor even feeling anything in your heart against a judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah al-Musta'an, in the coming weeks, we will look at each one of these individually and with all the dalail of the Quran that I can muster to inshallah make this a witness in our favor, that we believe this and that we follow this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these becoming a witness against us on the day of judgment. This is the double-sided sword of knowledge, which is cuts both ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the very coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his great favor on the believers, on the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his favor, the great favor of Allah on the Muslims, where he said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great favor on the believers when he sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves, reciting to them his ayat of the Quran, purifying them internally and externally, and instructing them and teaching them the book, the Quran, and al-hikmah, which is his blessed sunnah, alayhi salatu wassalam, while before that they had been in clear and manifest error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Jum'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He is the one who sent among the unlettered ones a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves, reciting to them his ayat of the Quran, purifying them internally and externally, and teaching them the book, the Quran, and al-hikmah, the sunnah. And verily, they had been before that in manifest error. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّا فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and know that among you there is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he were to obey you, if he obeyed you, meaning that if he followed your opinions and desires in much of the matter, you would surely be in trouble. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endeared the faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts and has made disbelief, wickedness and disobedience hateful to you. These are the rightly guided people. My brothers and sisters, that is why I say that humanity in general and Muslims in particular owe a debt of gratitude to this entire generation of Sahaba alayhi ridwanullahi alayhi majmain, which we cannot possibly discharge. We cannot possibly repay them for what they have given us by preserving and recording the life and actions and words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them in keeping with His majesty and grace. I advise you and myself not to waste time in argument, but to follow these generations with sincerity and dedication so that one day we can be gathered with them. We come to the first of the huquq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is adab wa ihtiram, an attitude of utmost respect and honor. My brothers and sisters, please reflect on this fact that it is easier to honor and respect somebody who is at a distance, who we don't really know. We just see them, we know them from whatever, you know, publicity that there is. We do not know them personally. We never sat with them. We never ate with them. We were not children together. We didn't play together, right? We did not share intimate moments with them. People like this, it is easier to respect and to obey. And if you want examples in life, you look at anybody. I mean, almost all the people we respect and obey and who we look up to are people we don't really know, right? Alhamdulillah, many of you give me a lot of love and respect. All of you, those who don't give it, don't show it, so I don't know that. But the point is that those who do it, what do you know about me? Very little. What you know about me is mostly rumor, and most of that is wrong. But alhamdulillah, please remain in your mistaken opinion and continue to honor me. I have no problem with that. But my point is, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people who honored him were people who knew him intimately. Somebody was his wife, somebody was his child, somebody was his cousin, somebody was his uncle, somebody knew him when he was a little boy, somebody knew him when somebody literally breastfed him. There were people there who knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a babe in arms. They carried him in their arms, right? Think about this. There were people who played like children. I mean, they played together in games and whatnot. For such people to respect him, and to respect him at a level where their taqiya kalam, their way of speaking, the thing that they used to say, or the phrase that they used to proceed with before they said anything was, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed on you. This is very tough. This is very difficult. This is not easy. That is the reason why when somebody asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if I'm a good man? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go ask your wife. Yeah? Because she knows you. She knows you in your shoes off state, right? She knows you when you are exhibiting all the reality of your life. And if that person says you are good, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, inshallah, you are good. So for people like the Sahaba to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way they respected him, this shows the true goodness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, if you look at, illa mashallah, most of the people in the world who have any eminence, whichever field they might be in, whether they are academics, whether they are film stars, whether they are football or cricket players, or whether they are politicians, and let's not even talk about politicians. But anyway, I mean, I'm saying almost anyone. I think it's almost a standard rule that you can say that the more you know them, the less you will respect them. And that's why in English there's a phrase which says familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. But with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with his Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain, this rule did not apply. The more you know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more you know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more you respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the reason why one must study the seerah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must not be an enigma and a mystery to you. Just a name and we know nothing about him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Studying the seerah is absolutely critical. I do not consider anyone who has not studied the seerah to be even educated. Forget about being an alim or whoever. As far as I am concerned, that guy, a person who has not studied the seerah is illiterate. He's, whatever else he knows is worthless. Because the most important thing in life he never studied. So what's the good of whatever else he studied? It has no meaning. So it's very important for us to be very clear in our minds and say, let us study the seerah, give the seerah the importance that it deserves. My brothers and sisters, we take our deen and principles of life from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba. Not from whatever culture or nationality that we belong to. This is the togetherness and the cohesion of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which makes us one with those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. And He promised Jannah to them and to those who follow them in excellence until the day of judgment is established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayat of Surah Tawbah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوَانٍ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them exactly and in excellence in deen. Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with Him. Jalla Jalaluhu. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. And that is supreme success. It is the mercy of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that He left the door open for whoever wants to join the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, the best of the best of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question we need to ask ourselves is whether we want to be among them when we are raised from our graves on the day of judgment. The choice needs to be made here, today. On that day, there is no choosing, only payment for the choices that we make now. Adab is the first step in knowledge as well as in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He Jalla Jalaluhu told us how to address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how to behave with him and what would happen if we did not do this. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the first two ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday illahi wa rasulihi wattaqullah inna allaha sami'un alim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدِ أَن تَحْبَتَ عَمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe and you and I know that this khitab is a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everywhere the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, this is a hukum, this is an order, this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both the men and the women. The command, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, does not refer only to the men. Allah says, O you who believe. Allah did not say, O you who believe among the men. No. Refers to everyone. So Allah is saying, O you who believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger. Do not take a step before, ahead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and fear the anger of Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all and knows all. And Allah said, O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not speak aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you do not even know. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, what is the meaning of don't put yourself forward ahead of Allah and His Messenger? First and foremost, understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Himself with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it is quite clear that nobody can put himself ahead of Allah. How can you do that in any case? So it would have been sufficient for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for Allah to have said, do not put yourself ahead of the messenger. This was clear and this was sufficient. This would still be a command and an order to be obeyed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to emphasize the importance of his Nabi alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned himself with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a rule in the Quran. Every single time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned himself with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul. The only things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one of the two is when he mentioned Rasulullah alone. And we will come to those ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Nabi alone. For example, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُوتِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. The one who has obeyed the Rasul has obeyed Allah. Allah did not say the one who obeyed Allah and his Rasul. No, Allah said the one who obeyed Rasul has obeyed Allah. So the very important for us to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not put yourself ahead. How does that apply to us today? What does it mean? It means that when there is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is a hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we obey it and we follow it and we do not decry or we do not discount the importance of that. And we do not say, well, you know, in today's times and this and that, no. We understand that this deen came for all time and that this deen is good for all time. And therefore, we will follow this without any changes in it as long as we live in this world, and this is how it will continue until the day of judgment. So not putting yourself ahead of Allah and His Rasul means that we do not try to supersede an order of Allah or a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our own so-called intelligence or our own so-called understanding. What does it mean to say do not take a step forward? Or do not raise your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Again, the same thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a ruling and you say something which is against that or which differs from that. Now, this is the meaning of not raising your voice over the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this referred also to actually physically raising your voice. And there are beautiful stories in the seerah of what the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in did in these cases. When this ayat came, what did they do? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a big man. Physically, he was a big man. He had a big booming voice. He, after this ayat was revealed, he came to the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would speak so softly and he would mumble. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what happened to you? Why are you speaking like this? Speak clearly. They found that he had pebbles in his mouth to keep his voice down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you doing this? Why do you have these pebbles in your mouth? He said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran to say, do not raise your voice over the voice of the Nabi. My voice is naturally loud. I'm not trying to raise it. I don't shout. But my voice is naturally loud. So I am afraid that Allah will be angry with me. And what is the punishment that Allah prescribed? Allah said, your entire amal, تَحْبَتَ عَمَلُكُمْ, all your deeds will be wiped out. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, and you will not even know. Meaning you spend your whole life doing all kinds of good deeds, making hajj and umrah and this and sadaqat and khairat and whatnot, but because you did not show respect to Rasulullah ﷺ as was his due, because you raised your voice above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which in today's time means that you speak out against the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you speak out against the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something is important, you say it is not important. This is the meaning of raising your voice above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To give you a couple of examples, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wear your trouser above your ankle." You say, "No, this is all old fashioned. You know, today it doesn't matter." Right? Now, whether you do it or you don't do it is a different issue. I am talking about you are expressing disrespect for the rule of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to keep beards. He ordered the men to keep your. He said, "Grow your beard and trim your mustache." Direct hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't do it. We discount its importance. Somebody else does it, we criticize. This amounts to raising your voice above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the result of which is on the day of judgment you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you find your book of deeds is clean. There is nothing in it. All your good deeds have been wiped out because of your speech and action. Allah is witness, I have said what I had to say. This is the importance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us how to behave with his household in his house. Again, Suratul Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not enter the Prophet's houses except when leave is given to you for a meal, except when you are invited for a meal, and then do not go so early as to wait for its preparation. People loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that the smallest excuse they got of to be in his company, he said, please come for dinner, he is there from Fajr. No, I have come for dinner, I am waiting for dinner. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, don't do this. You are invited for dinner, go for dinner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't go so early as to wait for its preparation. But when you are invited, enter, and when you have taken your meal, leave. Do not sit and talk. So you come for a meal, then you sit there and you talk. They didn't want to leave the company of Messenger of Allah. I mean, they loved him so much. This is an excuse. He invited me to his house. He can't throw me out, so I'm going to sit there. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no problems about throwing you out, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not sit and talk. Verily, such behavior annoys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he is shy to ask you to go, but Allah is not shy of telling you the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has obviously takalluf, you know, somebody is a guest in my house, how do I tell him, excuse me, this was, you know, I invited you for dinner, not for tomorrow's breakfast also. Please go away. No. But Allah says, Allah has no, you have eaten your food, now leave. He has a private life, he has his family, he needs to be with them, he can't be with you all the time. This is the adab being taught to the Sahaba and through them to all of us until the last day. The adab for the Prophet ﷺ, for his household, for his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when you ask his wives for anything that you want, ask them from behind a screen. That is purer for your hearts and for their hearts. And it's not right for you that you should annoy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor that you should ever marry his wives after him, after his death. Verily with Allah, that is a great enormity. It's a great something which is hugely wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a condition of iman then that one should not make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or of his sunnah. Joking is not only not appropriate in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, but jokes are highly dangerous as they can render you out of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ إِن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَحَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they see you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they treat you like a joke or a mockery. And they say, is this the one who Allah sent as a messenger? وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُوا عَنْ تَعِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبْ تَعِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah said, and if you ask them about this, they declare, we were only talking idly and we were joking. Say, was it Allah and his ayat, his proofs and so on, and his promises, and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you were mocking, you were joking, but were you joking about Allah and about his ayat and about his Rasul? And then Allah says, make no excuse. You have disbelieved. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have disbelieved, you have left Islam after you had believed. You were Muslim, but because of this joke, you are no longer Muslim. Not my fatwa, this is the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ. Surely you have committed kufr. بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. After you had accepted iman. Allah said, make no excuse, you have surely disbelieved after you had believed, and if we pardon some of you, we will punish others amongst you because they were mujrimoon, they were criminals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, inna allazina yudhuna allaha wa rasulahu la'anahumullahu fi dunya wal akhirah wa a'adda lahum adhaban muhina. Allah said, verily those who annoy Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Annoying Allah and annoying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to say or do anything which goes against the Kitab wal Sunnah. Simple rule for this. If it is anything which is against the Quran and against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this amounts to annoying Allah and annoying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, verily those who annoy Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter. La'anat of Allah on them fi dunya wal akhirah. La'anahumullahu fi dunya wal akhirah. The la'anat of Allah is on them in this dunya wal akhirah. And Allah has prepared for them a humiliating torment. So don't be carried away by the fact that people may be talking all kinds of stuff and you find them, you know, dancing in the streets and having a ball. There is a day of reckoning, believe me. And that day is very close. There is a day of reckoning. It doesn't matter. People may look to you in this world as if they are enjoying life, having said whatever they had said. But remember, Allah said, Allah has cursed them in this dunya wal akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what must we do now if we find people like this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that. Allah told us to leave the company of those who do such things. Allah said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَهُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Do not sit with them. حَتَّى يَقُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Allah said, it has already been revealed to you in the book that when you hear the ayat of Allah being denied and mocked at, then do not sit with such people until they change their talk to something other than that. But if you stay with them, certainly in that case, you are like them. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will collect the hypocrites and disbelievers all together in Jahannam. Now you might say, this ayat refers to denying or mocking the ayat of Allah. So how does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam come into this? I already recited to you the dalail, how Rasulullah comes into this sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat are ayat of the Quran, which are telling us to do what? Adab and ihtiram of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab which I recited and the other ayat, all of these are ayat of the Quran. So if anyone says the Quran is sufficient for me, this is Quran. Let it become sufficient for you, then inshallah mustan, you will be on the right path and you will obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam without question. Otherwise, you are lying to yourself when you say the Quran is enough for me because you are denying the Quran. And we know what is the result of denying the Quran. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattaqidhu alladhina taqadhu deenakum huzwan wa la'iba min alladhina utu alkitaba min qablikum wal kufara awliya wattaqullaha in kuntum mu'mineen. Allah said, O you who believe, do not take as awliya, do not take as close friends and protectors and helpers those who take your religion for a mockery and fun from among those who received the scripture before you, nor from among the disbelievers, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger if indeed you are true believers. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, as I said, the issue with rights is that they must be fulfilled. And if they are not fulfilled, then this action of not fulfilling the right is punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as simple as that. Allah gave us this deen. Allah gave us the honor of being born into the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and gave us the additional honor of accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being on the face of the earth after the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is default an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether or not he believes in him. Everyone, every Muslim, every non-Muslim is a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the benefit that the Muslims have is they follow him. They are what we call the ummat ijabat, and the others we call the ummat da'wat, the people who need to be invited to be part of the ummah. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the sharf and the honor of not only being in the ummah, but of believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of inshaAllah following him to the best of our ability. Let us not destroy that by falling into this trap of shaitan, who tries to take away everything by making you do something which apparently is small. All of this shayari of Jannat ki haqiqat to hame jana hai, dekha hai, and so on and so forth. I know the shayar, I'm not reciting it deliberately. It's not that I don't know the shayar or the name of the one who said it. May Allah forgive him and forgive his sins. The point I'm making is that all of this may sound cute, it is not cute. Islam has boundaries. It may be okay in some cultures to smoke in front of your father. In Islam, it is not okay to smoke at all, period. It is haram. Whether it's in front of your father or anybody else, because when you are smoking, your friend smoking in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is bigger than your father. In Islam, there is adab. There is a way of behaving. Hi dad is not okay. Right? All kinds of stuff that we do in other cultures, let people do it. I've got no quarrel, and it's not my job to change everybody else. But as far as we are concerned, please understand, we have a deen, and our deen comes with boundaries of dignity and honor. Let us not destroy that. What anyone else does is not our concern. Anyone else is not your and my teacher. Your teacher and my teacher is one, and he is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So let us follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in excellence, inshallah. We do our best, and then inshallah you will be worthy of being included with the sabiqoon al-awwaloon, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said radiyallahu anhu wa radu an, they are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. And Allah said, for them I have prepared jannat tajri min tahti al-anhar, gardens under which rivers flow, where they will say khalidina fiha abada, they will stay there forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will inherit this jannah, and we ask Allah to gather us with those we love, who are the sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself in jannatul firdausul ala bi ghairi hisab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.